How many people, this is the first time you've ever heard me speak. Wow. How many people don't know anything about me except that I have pink hair and I'm standing up here? We prayed for you before we came. And tonight I have a really kind of a short time. I normally like 4 hours. And you wouldn't care. I tell you, the Holy Spirit held captive an audience of seniors age 70 to 90 in Canada. And I have a message back there called, well, I don't know if it's back there right now, but I have one that was called, what was it called? See, what happens is when you get so filled with heaven, you disconnect from planet Earth. And they kind of turn my natural mind off. I don't have a mind of my own right now. It just belongs to heaven. And that's a good thing. And that's really true, though. My staff knows when I come home after ministering, they ask me no important questions. I don't make any important decisions. They don't ask me to sign anything. I'm probably going to write my name. Because I'm so filled with heaven, they empty me at every meeting. And then fill me up with more stuff for the next meeting. Most of my meetings do last 4 hours, so tonight you're getting an appetizer. And because it is a short time tonight, I know hopefully everybody will be able to come back. I do understand that some people just cannot. If you absolutely just cannot come back tomorrow night, then the products table will be open for a few minutes tonight, but we have someplace else we have to go after this. It's really important. It's still connected to the meetings here, but we have to do it tonight. But tomorrow night, I promise I'll go at least a couple hours with you. And tomorrow night is one of the most important messages he's allowing me to give. You don't want to miss. Tomorrow night, I'm going to talk about what time it is right now on God's timeline, not man's, not the government's. Okay, not even some of the prophets. I'm telling you what God the Father has on his timeline, and that's what he's going to do, regardless of what darkness is doing, mankind is doing, what the enemy, it doesn't matter what the enemy's doing either, because God is about to change the way you're living. And tomorrow night I will be talking about what time we are in, the kingdom age. It's the last age that will be on this earth. You all know that Jesus said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Yeah. We're in that age right now. We're not in the same time we were in even a couple years ago. We're in a whole new time that never existed on the earth before. Which means, yes, this is the time for the new thing. Pink hair is one of the new things. We can try in our mortal mind to figure out God all we want to. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work because we're not God, right? And his creativity is unlimited, and he does want to destroy your box that you've been living in, that you've had him in, heaven in, eternity in. And that's what happens in these meetings. For those of you who don't know me, you're going to get a one-minute explanation. What is that right? Explanation? I'm trying to think of the right word. I don't use big words. God picked me so 10-year-olds could understand. And having been raised in a family of 15, I'm number 3. This is my fun time. Because growing up with them wasn't necessarily fun. It was educational. It was, that was my dying time. Don't worry about me getting a fat head. That was deflated about age 5. And I learned to live in love with a whole tribe of people. That was my siblings. We learned perseverance and long suffering because we had one bathroom. Try that one. The only thing that was really replaced in our house was the bathroom door, many times, from people beating it down. Your time is over. It's my time. Get out. And so we have a lot of comedians. We do have a lot of people in the ministry. We do have some politicians, some actors, actresses, poets. We have a whole mix in my family. And there's over 100 of us now in Florida, in Jacksonville, Florida. We've invaded them. I'm not the only one of my family members that have divine encounters. I have a brother that's caught up in the outer space, and God has to put him there so he can actually talk to him. And then we have other ones who have very strong prophetic dreams. Some of them see, some of them hear clearly, many of them prophesy. So I wasn't really anything special to them. You know how you're without honoring your own home? Well, we were kind of all like that. And we learned to live and survive, so there's nothing you can say to me that's going to hurt me. I do not get offended. I gave that up a long time ago. It's so to live so free, to not ever get hurt, wounded, offended. They already did it all, okay? I tell people, forget it. People who email me nasty things and went, I'm forgiving you before I read this. I ask God not to write it down. You're wasting your breath and your words because I'm asking the Holy Ghost to sick you. And if you keep emailing me, I'm going to love you. If you do it again, I love you more. If you do it again, I love you more. So if you want lots of love, keep it coming. They usually don't answer, okay? So, but I can tell you, from 1996, and now I was born again at 4, lived a life of, you know, I repented a lot. Trust me, I did sin. We all do. I learned how to repent fast. I don't think I was like Miss Perfect my whole life. I tried to be, but you know, in our own right, we can't really do that without Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'm glad I was born in this time right now on this earth. I can stand here and say I wouldn't want to be anyone else. I like who I am. I like who God made me. He likes me. And I don't need anyone else's validation. Amen? He loves me. He made me this way. He asked me to have the pink hair. Destroy part of your box right there. Rip a corner off. He likes pink hair, green hair, blue hair. You're going to have it in heaven anyway. And your grandma, who was 95, the left one, oh, you cut your hair. I like it long. She's probably got it in all kinds of styles. They embellish gems in it, diamond dust. They have it every which way. Trust me, I've been there and know it. They color your hair with light. If you don't like it, they can take it out and put it another color. Say, God did not appear in eternity. Eternity came from him. Inside the Father is the river of life, the most beautiful, amazing river you'll ever see. It does come out from his being through the streets. It becomes the crystal sea. It's become so huge, it is like a massive sea, like an ocean. They surf in heaven. They do a lot more than that. Amen? But honestly, the only source of water in heaven, the waterfalls, it doesn't matter what it is, all the water is from the river of life that comes from God, Father. Out of the river flows gemstones. That's in the ancient past. God's heart are gemstones. The stones of fire is the heart of God. Say, a rainbow can be made by putting a bright light under a faceted stone. Say, our God is a consuming fire. There is a hot blue fire that burns in the inside of God. It is his passion for us. It hits the stones of fire, the gemstones, and pushes the rainbow outside of God. Gemstones represent love. If you don't know Lucifer, he was made. God put gemstones all over the back of his being. And he would step inside God. He had access to do that. He would lead worship from inside God. And all the worship from the angels will come down right in front of Lucifer. And he loved that. He was happy to do it in the beginning. But the more he did it, the more he began to feel like, you know, he was special. And how many people know in Isaiah 14, Lucifer said, I am like the Most High. How many people know that? Say amen.
Amen.
He said that because there were gemstones inside God and he was wearing them on the outside. See, when you get revelation, that changes a lot of things when you think about things, right? And the enemy always wanted those gemstones, by the way. That's why he has made a copycat. He used to walk upon the stones of fire. He literally walked on God's heart. And God made a place for him to stand to lead worship. And when the fire would burn around the gemstones, it would produce this beautiful rainbow. The glory is all the love of God. It's all about the love because those stones represent love. And then they would hit all the way back up Lucifer and shoot the rainbow outside the walls of the temple in heaven. He was made to produce glory for God, and instead he stole it. It said in Ezekiel 28, he went around heaven trafficking his wares. That means he had his own mini concerts because he was created with instruments in him. When he opened his mouth and sang, it was like a symphony. You heard glorious, anointed music because he was called the anointed cherub. He could also sing words. It was the most beautiful music in all of heaven, and the angels would sing with him. He was very anointed. And then later when he decided he was going to take over heaven, and I can tell you why he got away, why he thought he was getting away with it. God was using the first MO. Let them think they won. Let them show everything they got. Let them finish releasing all of the darkness. And when I am ready, I will blind him with my light and kick him out. And so who knows how long, since there's no time in heaven, is that he trafficked his wares. That means he showed off his ability to create. You know, none of the angels really couldn't create music like he did. They weren't as beautiful as he was. He wouldn't do it in the throne room, obviously, but he would go around heaven out in different places and have these concerts to show how beautiful and amazing he was to try to tempt the angels to follow him. And because God said nothing. Get this big picture. He's going all over heaven doing this. He actually went to every angel in heaven and said, if you bow down to me and worship me and follow me, when I take over, you'll get power, you'll get wealth, you'll get position. Does that sound? Yeah. That's what he's always done. The enemy has. And he was doing that. And all the time he was doing it, God said nothing. He would still come back in the throne room, step inside God, lead worship like nothing happened. And because God said nothing to him, he thought he won. Do you think God knew what he was doing?
Yes.
He kept telling people, I am smarter than God. He doesn't even know what I'm doing. Look, because you know what? If he knew, wouldn't he do something? Wouldn't you think he'd do something? But we're not God, right? Say, God had a plan.
God had a plan.
When he was ready and he went to the last of the angels to tempt them, he actually got 1/3 of them to believe him. And when he got ready to come back and step inside God to do worship, in Ezekiel 28, it said that God said, I forever destroyed your ability to enter into the stones of fire. That means he destroyed the entrance that he had given him to step into him. I think he knew he was in trouble the time he tried to do that and couldn't get in there. And then God carried out the rest of his plan. He had Michael get a hold of him. God loosed a lightning bolt from himself, which blinded him. Trust me, if you saw one in heaven leaving God, it would blind the enemy. He blinded him with his glory, and then Michael kicked him out of heaven. That was the way God operated. He's always operated that way. Another time he did that was in Colossians 2:15, when it said, you know, having spoiled principalities and powers, is that what it says? Where Jesus wiped up hell? Say amen.
Amen.
On the third day, amen, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of it openly over them, triumphing in it. Is that what the word says?
Yes.
I can tell you what it looked like. Would you like to know?
Yes.
Number one, when Christ released his spiritual body, not his little wispy spirit, his spiritual body left the cross, left his body hanging there, which was put in the tomb. His spiritual body descended into Abraham's bosom first. He had to drop off the thief. Say amen.
Amen.
How many people know that? Did he not tell the thief, today you shall be with me in paradise? That was Abraham's bosom. Amen. This is all scriptural. Revelation is always scriptural, but God shows you what he meant by that. It changes the way you think about things. Amen. Luke 16:22 is where it talks about Abraham's bosom. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? Now, let me tell you, I was taken back and shown, say, God
has eternity.
If he wants to take you back,
or
forward,
he
can do it. How many people would like to have that?
Yeah.
You're in the right time for it to happen.
That's
God is catching up people by the hundreds every day, showing them heaven. And because of that, the enemy has made a mock heaven and a mock hell. And he's taking people there and showing them things he wants them to see that are not true. Say, the body of Christ, needs to know about the spirit realm. Just because you have a divine encounter doesn't mean it was the right person. And if you don't test those spirits and you don't know anything about the spirit realm, trust me, you could be fooled. Yeah. Amen? Because God's taking people and showing them both places. The enemy had to come up with something to try to bring confusion, like showing kids in hell, showing Christians who are in hell because they wear blue jeans, uh-oh. Putting colored highlights in their hair, uh-oh. I'm being honest, people are being taken to the mock hell and shown Christians, and they're being told they're there because they wore blue jeans and they put colored highlights in their hair. Does the Word of God say you will go to hell for wearing jeans or colored hair? You know how many people are actually believing that? Christians. What about you? You wear jeans and you have color in your hair? Well, I guess they didn't go to the right one then. Amen. We need to be aware that the enemy is, you know, keep your guard up. Amen. Sometimes I remember where was it? I was down in the third day. Yeah. And so Jesus left the cross, released his spiritual body, and he took the thief spiritual body with him, descended into Abraham's bosom, which used to be in the middle of the earth. Now, God was really nice about it because, well, you know, before Jesus poured out his blood, you didn't go there and live. It says you descended. Now we ascend, correct? When a believer dies, they depart and move to heaven. They didn't get lost. You didn't lose them. You miss them. They're better off up there. And they can't wait for you to get there, amen? Don't call them back once they've been up there for a while. They're loving you, declaring God's will over your life, cheering you on. But you know what? They're with the one who made them. When you go to heaven, you fall in love with Jesus. You don't ever want to be away from him, amen? We need to have heaven's viewpoint on everything. Isn't that what his kingdom is?
Yes.
Say, his kingdom.
His kingdom
is his will,
his way,
not ours.
Not
his will,
our way,
his will,
his way,
as it is in heaven. Don't you think you need to know how they do it in heaven?
Yes.
That's why he takes me. I can tell you what, tomorrow night's message is going to be powerful. So Jesus descended in Abraham's bosom. It was a beautiful place. It was a city. It had a flowing river. It had skies. It had beautiful buildings. It had sumptuous food for them to eat. You eat in your spiritual body. In heaven, there's no weight gain, no food allergies. They had water to drink in Abraham's bosom. They were very well taken care of. They were the ones that God counted righteous because they believed in him. You don't get junk in heaven. They didn't have bad stuff down there either. It's empty now. They were led. They were captivated by Jesus Christ, by the way, who was his cheering squad while he was wasting hell. In the middle of the earth, now these are spiritual realms in this physical earth. The spiritual realms are not really impacted by, there's buildings, spiritual buildings built around this building. You can't see them, but they're here. Angels are on assignment here. They don't just float around in the air. They have facilities. The enemy's built his own, and God has built his own. There's spiritual buildings around you. You just don't see them. See, that makes sense. That's why you need to know how they operate. So God was taking very well care of them, and guess what? They knew who Jesus was. How do I know? Because Joseph had been there for some time. If you don't think Joseph wasn't being a witness who raised Jesus Christ, who had the visitation from the angel, he knew who he was. He knew he was already on the earth when he died and went there. He went to Abraham's bosom. Not only that, his cousin was there. Say, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, was already in Abraham's bosom, and he never stopped talking. Now say this, Lazarus. Jesus' best friend had been in Abraham's bosom. He was only there for 4 days. And he disappeared. He knew about the miracles Jesus had done. He had seen many of them. He was talking about the Messiah who was on the earth right then, the whole time. And guess what? Something weird started to happen in Abraham's bosom. People started disappearing like crazy. When Jesus' ministry started, you think those few people it talks about in the Bible were the only ones he raised from the dead? If all the books were written about what he did in those 3 short years, they would go around this world. Those are just some of the highlights. People started disappearing at a rapid rate from Abraham's bosom. And then the new ones came and say, I know what happened to them. I saw them get raised from the dead. Jesus called them out. So when he appeared, they already knew who he was. And he did the weirdest thing. He crossed over to hell all by himself. The enemy had no right to come and take him. He was righteous. He believed in God. He would have stayed in Abraham's bosom, but say God had a plan. See, the enemy thought he won. When Jesus showed up in hell. How many people can see this picture? Say, God has an MO. It was another sting operation. You can imagine all the trouble he went through, and here the enemy finally has him in his hands. He took him and made sure that he was put where nobody could get to him, afraid that God would show up on the scene, right? If it was your son, would you come and get him? First day goes by, no rescue party. The enemy got really excited. Ooh, I have got him now. I don't think he knows where he is. But you know, I think he had a memory loss because God obviously knew what he's doing in heaven, right? And so he's making, starts to make plans. Now, I am going to torture him, but I think, because I really think I've got him, I'm calling in all my hierarchy, all the principalities and powers. What does it say he's spoiled? Principalities and powers, right? They're all sitting on thrones out there in the atmosphere. He called them all in to see the show. And he started making plans. We're going to have a big show. I'm going to make sure I have an audience to watch. They can watch their leader destroy the Son of the Living God because he can't come and get him. Second day comes and goes. Now, I have more power than he does. Before he thought he was smarter. Now he thinks he has more power. Now I've decided, because it's going to be so good, I'm moving it up to the front of hell. So all those in Abraham's bosom will have to watch. Say amen.
Amen.
So he moved it from where he was going to put it up to the gates of hell. Abraham's bosom was in the earth. Hell was way down here. Abraham's bosom was up over here. There was a great gulf, but they could see down into the entrance of hell. Say, that's what the word says. Everyone over here knew something was going to happen. They were not concerned. They actually climbed every tree, got on top of all the buildings to see as far as they could see. They were making plans to see the show too. But they knew who God was before they died. And now they had a big picture of the Son of God. And so here comes the morning of the third day, and I'm telling you, Satan, I was taken back and shown all this. What you're going to hear is exactly what he did to them, the same pretty much what God did before. So they were all there, all the hierarchy in the front row, and all the little demons are complaining and whining. Say, Satan's army.
Satan's army.
They hate each other.
There's
no
love
in the enemy's camp. So they hated it. They weren't on the front row. They were about to be very glad they weren't on the front row. And so on the morning of the third day, there is a lightning crack from heaven. I think they knew what that meant. Amen? So God sends this bolt of fire down into the midst of hell, and every crack and crevice and every nook, every place of torture was lit up with blinding light. Say, once again. God used light to blind the enemy. Those little demons started running and screaming to get out of that, get as far away as they could. The Son of God had stood up. All he had done so far was stand up. And the Father lit up hell because heaven was about to see the show. And I know you think, why is she making it sound like this? Because the Holy Spirit is called the drama king in heaven. And he is the one who causes all the drama. And he was going to have a very good time. He had a front row seat. And Jesus stood up, and here's all the hierarchy. Now their mouths have fallen open. Here's their leader. He had every royal robe on he could muster together so that he could look very kingly. And he hadn't even moved. Boy, he was shocked. The look on his face. And all the hierarchies, they were stunned. They couldn't even move. And Jesus stands there, and he takes his hand like this. And he goes, and the faces of the principalities and powers began to melt like wax. It said he spoiled, he ruined. That means they couldn't put it back. When I was younger, I used to see some demons' faces that looked like they were melted like wax. I used to think, why is their face like that? I know why it's like that. And I know who did that to them. And they melted. They began to scream. Their eye sockets were literally melted. It pulled their whole face down. And they were screaming. And those demons, those little guys, were trying to get as far away. They were falling over each other. They were glad they were not on the front row. They were screaming, you know, trying to get away. And here is their leader, an absolute shock and horror that the Son of God is wiping up hell and making a show of it openly, right? And over here in Abraham's bosom, they are screaming and cheering him on. He didn't have to go preach to them. They already knew. He captivated them right there with the power of God being displayed against all of the darkness openly in their own place. In the midst of hellfire, the fire of God was melting the faces of Satan's biggest guys. So he blinded them first, right? And then he released the power, his power, onto all of them and destroyed their plans. And then his son walks over and strips everything off of Satan, including every gemstone God put on him. He took away the glory that the enemy was so proud of. And then he reaches down, and there really are keys, and there really is like a ring that they're on. And he took the keys of hell, death, and the grave. And Abraham's bosom were screaming and yelling. They were cheering him on. And then he ascended back up to the tomb. God put his body, he stepped into his body. God glorified it instantly. It was amazingly, I can't even explain to you how that happened, but or what even it looked like. It was so powerful. Glorified his body. And he stepped, his spiritual body stepped back in and glorified his body. The angel rode the stone away, and Jesus steps outside. Now, the glorified Son of God. The first one who's been risen from the dead, amen? Amen, had totally taken all the power away from hell and the enemy. Say, we, as the body of Christ, have power over all the power of the enemy. We need to use it. Amen? Jesus already won that for us. Yeah. And then he walks over into the flower bed, and he sticks his face in the flowers that were blooming at that time at the garden tomb, and he was engulfed with this whole aroma. Jesus loves flowers. And here comes Mary. Amen. The stone's been rolled away. She goes inside, and he's not there. And you could hear her talking to the angels, and she runs back outside, and she sees him with his face in the flowers, thinking he is the gardener. Say, that makes sense. You know that little thing, stop and smell the roses? That came from Jesus. It was the first thing he did. There was a reason why God put him in the garden tomb. Because he knew when his son was resurrected, he would step outside and the full bloom of spring would be there. So he even thought of him. Amen? And heaven, Jesus loves flowers. And so then after that, he talked to Mary, and but say, God has an M.O.
God has an M.O.
He lets the enemy think he won.
Then
he sends the light
to
blind him.
And then he kicks him out.
He unseats him where he's been ruling. And destroys his plans. Say, God.
God
is doing the same thing
right now.
And the world and even the body thinks God is not going to do anything because he's going to punish us. Their only answer is, he's going to, you know, he's going to bring his wrath down. He's going to punish us. And God is laughing. Say, God laughs at man's plans. Say, he's laughing really hard right now. Because God has a plan. And we win.
And we
get to be that light that blinds the enemy and pushes him back and unseats him and strips power from him. Because we're going to operate on this earth like they do in heaven. And heaven does not tolerate darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. Can't you just see that right now? The same exact thing is happening. Darkness is coming from everywhere, making all the rules, trying to run our government and other places around the world and things. He is so full of himself right now. When the enemy gets full of himself, he makes stupid mistakes. He does. He makes real stupid mistakes. And he's making one right now. And I can tell you, God has a remnant that knows God is not done with this world. He actually hasn't even begun to use the body of Christ. There will be a time on this earth where the saints of God are running this earth. Say, God said, let us give them dominion and authority so they can rule and reign with Christ in this life and the life to come. Amen. And tomorrow night, I'm going to tell you exactly what that's going to look like. How he's going to release the wealth of the wicked to the just. What he's going to do in the business world. How it's going to change our very lives. It's never going to go back to the way it was. For a season on this earth, it will be better. I'm not saying darkness is going to be all totally disappeared, but it's going to be pushed out to the point where there's areas that they'll have to build cities of darkness to live in. God's going to flood this world. Say, the world will flock to the light. Say, we, Christ in us, is the hope of glory. The knowledge of the glory. That's the message of the kingdom. That's the passion, the power, and the plans of God being done His way, like it is in heaven. We'll cover this world like the waters cover the sea, and we get to help do it. Amen. Do you feel different? Just so you know, in heaven, when you worship, you are caught up on your worship and ride on your worship across the skies of heaven. Yeah. I feel sometimes it's so powerful, I just want to go with the worship. I want to go. Say, all worship, goes into the throne room of God. We create an aroma like incense with our worship. When our worship passes through the second heaven, it blows holes in the Satan's stuff. Your whole life lived makes such a difference to God. He didn't send you here just to have a nice family and go home to heaven. He sent you here to take dominion. Jesus is coming back when God is ready. But guess what? He's not ready. The world doesn't know us by our love yet, do they?
No.
Have we handled the wealth of the wicked?
No.
Has the knowledge of the glory covered this earth?
No.
Have we made the Jews jealous?
No.
Then why do people think we're leaving? I have seen the Most High God. He has a plan. He put you here for now. Your loved ones are very excited that you're still here. He says, we are going to run the divine race when the host of heaven will run with us. Why leave? I'll tell you this, when your mansion is done, regardless of your age, you go home. You don't get up there and it's not ready. God knew the day he sent you here to this earth, the day you would come home. How many people believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Say he'll have my mansion ready.
He'll have my mansion ready.
Say my mansion.
My mansion
will be designed.
Will be designed
around my gift.
Around my gift.
Which is my passion.
Which is my passion.
The thing I love the most.
The thing I love the most.
That he put in me.
That he put in me.
I get to do it in heaven.
I get to do it in heaven.
And give it to everybody. For free.
For free.
Raise up your hands. Father, I ask you to bless your people right now, that you seal that revelation inside of them. The enemy was not allowed to come into this meeting. We kicked him out up to 10 miles around when I got here in Jesus' name. He can't report anything back. None of the demons can report back to their leader what happened, what was said. He is clueless. Say,
the devil
is clueless. Say,
Father,
I thank you for revelation.
Give me some.
Because now I want more. Say, Father, get me ready.
Father, get me ready.
To manifest for you.
To manifest for you.
I am so glad.
I am so glad.
That you let us know.
That you let us know.
When you're going to do something.
On the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming. Please try to come back tomorrow night. Because I will be giving in a powerful message. Amen.
Amen.
But revelation changes you. I wish I had more time to tell you about heaven. He's been taking me for over 15 years nonstop. Catches me up by my spirit like he did John and Paul in the Word of God. Actually, Ezekiel was taken. Many, many people were taken to heaven. He didn't mention them all. And right now, we're in 2012, resurrection morning, we stepped off a threshold of time into a new time God calls the kingdom age. Amen. We're in a new time. He's going to do new things a new way, and I know what they are. So make sure you come here tomorrow night. Amen. Be blessed, and we have to take off. I think someone's at the product table back there. You can go to my website, revealingheaven.com, or just go on YouTube and punch in my name and pray for all the people who blasted me. No break. Bless them. Put something wonderful on there and say, you know God made you. They put great. You know what I say when people blast me and criticize me and judge me? I know what it means when he says, bless those that curse you. It is the most fun you will ever have. Say,
we
have to stop warring
against the flesh.
Say, it's the devil's trap.
It's the devil's trap.
We need to stop falling into it.
We
need to war
in
the spirit realm. When someone's blasting you like that, turn around and look at him and say what God says. I have made you wonderfully and perfectly. I sent you here to make a difference. There's greatness on the inside of you. I have great plans for you. Just tell them God has great plans for you. He sent his son because he loved you just the way you are. And they're looking at you like, you're nuts. I'm cursing you. I'm accusing you. I'm shredding you. Just totally ignore what they're saying because you know who's doing it? The devil. Little spirits of strife the size of a spider is on their shoulder feeding those words in their ear and they're speaking them out. Picture that there. That is what you need to come against. You know what you do it with? Say love is God's greatest weapon. And in the kingdom age, he has a new weapon. It's called fun.
Woo!
Just keep blessing them. Guess what? They're going to run away. The devil don't want them to hear that. Praise God. Thank you for having me. Amen.
Thank you.